Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's good to be with you all. This is my first time to be at Tamp Tecumseh, right? Did I pronounce it right?
Tecumseh.
That's the way I would say it. But I heard Tecumseh. That's not right? Is it both ways?
Depends who you talk to.
That's like a lot of things, right? Depends who you talk to. Well, my name is Vern Smathers, and I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. But if you think this is the first time you met somebody from Alabama, you'll be disappointed because I'm not really from Alabama. That's just where I happen to live. But they do have an interesting phrase there that they say, you know, we pronounce it Birmingham, and they say we keep the ham in Birmingham. You know, because like in England, I think they pronounce it Birmingham. It's kind of like humming, you know, they're humming. But Birmingham, we like our pork. We like our barbecue. And so I invite you all to come down, and we'll take you for some good ribs. They do have good ribs in Alabama. And we have a wonderful church life there in Birmingham. There's a small church, about 20 saints, and I've been there 8 years. And there's a campus there, the University of Alabama, Birmingham. So that's not the football team. This is more like the medical school or the medical center for the whole state. So if anyone is in pre-med and looking at good universities to go to medical school, there's a good one in Birmingham. Or if you're looking to do your residency, there's a good school there. So keep that in mind. Well, just a little bit of my background. I always like to introduce myself just so you know a little bit about who I am, because otherwise you don't know who's talking to you. And why should I listen to this guy? And I don't know if I can answer that question, why you should listen to me or not, but at least I can tell you a little bit about myself. That originally I'm from Texas, and I met the Lord when I was probably about 8 years old. I received the Lord, and it was in a certain denomination that, you know, my family went to every time the doors were open. That's what we said, right? Every time the doors were open, our family was there. So that was about three times a week. And that was a lot to me as a young person. But when I was eight, I really realized in one of the preachings that I was apart from God, and I was a sinner. And I hadn't done a lot of terrible things. I was only 8 years old. But somehow I realized, you are a sinner, you know. And, you know, I'd stolen a toy car, and not a real car, but a toy car, you know, and done some other things. I'm sure I'd lied by that point. And so I realized I'm a sinner and I'm apart from God. And that was a terrible state to be in, right? When you realize I am apart from God. And so I went to the front and I prayed with the pastor to receive Christ. And although I didn't really have the teaching that I received Christ, I really did, because I was a different person. Inwardly, I was a different person. Previously, I was a person without Christ inside of me. Now I'm a person with Christ inside of me. Although I didn't realize that as an eight-year-old, but I did realize I was different. And but it was frustrating because, you know, I think at that age, and maybe even still to your age, that you want to be a good Christian, right? I don't think anyone wants to be a bad Christian, right? Everyone wants to be a good Christian. You want to live some kind of life that's pleasing to God and pleasing to man. But I found out it's impossible. It's like I'm not living this kind of life. And so since a Christian wouldn't live the kind of life I'm living, I must not be a Christian. That was my conclusion, right? Because even though I had received Christ, I wasn't living out a life that was pleasing to God. Okay, so this is a terrible state to be in, because you're like a contradiction, right? It's like you want to be something and you can't be it. No matter how hard you try, just the more frustrated you get, right? And so I think by the time I was 12 years old, I was totally convinced I wasn't a Christian. And so where I was, is like if you wanted to be a Christian, you went down to the front and you prayed with the pastor. So I'd already done that once, but at a certain time, I did that again. It's like, you know, it took a lot of bravery to stand up out of your chair, and you walk down the aisle to the front, and you meet the pastor, and what do you want? What do you want to do? It's like, I want to be saved. And so he led me to pray again. And I prayed, but probably nothing really happened. I didn't sense like the first time. And then later my parents were surprised because you already did this before, right? You did this when you were 8 years old. It's like, what are you doing? And I said, well, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure I was a Christian and I wanted to be sure. And my mom asked me this question. She goes, well, are you sure? And I was until she asked me the question. And so as soon as she asked me the question, it's like, how can you be, in my own mind, I'm thinking, how can you be sure? Because I was associating it so much with a kind of living, right? A kind of behavior. So this is just the first day. What's tomorrow going to be like? Am I going to be a good Christian tomorrow? Who knows, right? And will you be good enough? That's another question, right? You may be good to a certain level, but is that good enough to please God? And so anyway, I said yes, I was sure, but I really wasn't sure. And then somehow, I don't even remember how it happened, but probably sometime during high school, even though I was farther away from God, I was probably living less like a Christian. Somehow, eventually, I realized I'm a Christian. And I'm not even sure I knew what that meant. But at least in my own mind, I was sure I was a Christian. But I knew I was a bad Christian. That was for sure. I wasn't a good Christian. And so even in that denomination, you know, we would have the Lord's table. And I was so bad. Of course, we didn't do it every week. It would have been hard if it was every week. We only did it about every 3 or 4 months. But I realized I was so bad, I shouldn't take the table. And so when it would come to me, I would just pass it by. But no one, I don't think, even paid attention. But I felt like the Lord honored that because I honored him. You know, it's like I honored his table. It's like, I'm so bad, I'm not worthy to take the table. At least I won't contaminate the table. You know, it's like I'll pass it by. And so anyway, that was my condition all the way through high school. And then I went to college, and I was very happy to be away from my parents. I didn't have to go to church anymore, and basically I was just playing. Does anybody go to college to play? Mm-hmm. To play? Not sports, just to play. Yeah, I went to college to play, basically. I didn't study that much. I did make okay grades, but I really didn't study. And so basically I was just playing, you know. And I wasn't going to church. But at a certain point, my mom, this you can pick this up, my mom was kind of a big spiritual influence in my life. She encouraged me eventually to begin reading the Bible. And she gave me a reading plan. Can you guess what it was? No? More simple than John. I think it has 31 chapters. It almost matches one a day, right? You can read one a day for the month. Proverbs, yes, exactly. Have you been on that reading plan? No, not yet. Okay. So anyway, I started reading Proverbs, and I think the Lord began to operate because I began to read the Bible. You know, previously, you know, Christians should read the Bible, but a lot of people don't, right? It's kind of like exercise. You know you should exercise, but do you exercise? It's like, it's one of those things we all acknowledge, yes, the Bible is a good book and I should read it, but maybe we don't. But anyway, I began reading Proverbs, and that was probably, I don't remember the time frame exactly, around junior, senior year, I began reading Proverbs, and I think I went on, I read Ecclesiastes, which was probably like one of my favorite books. It's like, why did no one tell me Ecclesiastes was in the Bible? It's such a great book, you know? And, you know, being a college student, it's kind of philosophical. If you've read Ecclesiastes, it was a very, very attractive book to me. But anyway, I kept on my reading plan, reading Proverbs, and I probably read it 2 or 3 times. And so that was a little bit of progress because I was reading it daily. That's a big thing, right? It began to be regular. And this is really important, we'll get to later, but I began to touch the Bible in a regular way. And so eventually, I met some Christians on the campus there at the University of Texas. That's where I was a student. And at the end of the 4th year, I'll tell you what kind of student I was. I was coming out of a self-paced introductory psychology course when I'd been there 4 years. Okay, so you can tell what kind of classes I was looking for, right? But I came out of that class, and there were two brothers there. There were two Christians on the campus, and one actually wasn't even a student. He was an older guy, and I think he was a nurse, but he was with a student. And so they were just meeting people and preaching the gospel, and so they were happy to meet me. I was a Christian, and I don't even remember what we talked about. But at the end of the conversation, they asked me for my phone number, and I gave it to them. And as I was walking away, I was thinking, that was probably a mistake. You know, it's like, they're probably going to call you. And, of course, in those days, we didn't have cell phones. But they did call my apartment. And eventually, they invited me to dinner. And fortunately, I'm the kind of person, it was hard for me to say no. So I said, sure, I'll come to your house for dinner. And so I went to their house for dinner. And it's like, in that meeting, it's like, I got a revelation. I got a revelation about the Christian life, that it's really effortless. It's like all that effort, all that frustration, all that trying that you'd been doing for all those years was really in vain. And do you know what you need to do to be a good Christian? You just need to enjoy Christ. That was incredible to me. It's like enjoyment and Christ, these were two words that never connected in my experience, you know, but by enjoying Christ, you can live the Christian life basically effortless. It's really incredible. And I'm not always successful at it, but that changed my life at the end of my fourth year of college. And so I'd already planned to come back for my fifth year because the government was paying for it, you know, so you don't have to go to work. You can just take another year of taking electives and introductory courses. So I learned a little bit about a lot of things, you know. But that fifth year was really precious because I came back to be with the brothers. It's like I wanted to be in the fellowship that was going on my campus because I had never found anything else like that. Enjoying Christ, and here's a group of people you can enjoy Christ with. And that's all they want to do, seemingly, you know. It's like they just want to get with you and read the Bible and read books about the Bible and fellowship about the Bible and go to conferences about the Bible. And so I started going to this kind of conference at that time in my life, and that's been a long time, 30 plus years I've been going to college conferences. And so after I graduated, guess what I did? I so much enjoyed the fellowship on the campus, I got a job on the campus. It's like I didn't want to leave the campus. And so I got a part-time job on the campus. And I think I was a receptionist is how I started out, as a receptionist on the campus. And eventually, after a couple years, there was the opportunity to serve the Lord full-time. And so I started serving on my campus, just doing what I enjoyed, right? Which was enjoying Christ with the brothers and sisters there on that campus. And fast forward, many other things have happened in my life. But I would say it really all started with the Bible. Reading the Bible, and that's our subject this weekend, is Christ, the living Word of God. Amen. And so I hope after this weekend, I don't know what you came here expecting, but really our goal, I'll tell you the goal of this conference, is we'd like you to leave loving Christ more and loving His Word more, okay? You would have a greatly uplifted appreciation of Christ and the Bible, His Word. And even hopefully you would be inspired to spend more time in His Word. Okay? So let's read the title of this conference together. Christ, the living Word of God. So I do like to give you a little bit of a map of where we're going to go this semester. That's actually not a misspeaking. It's like you will get more this weekend than many people get in a whole semester. So that's not totally a wrong speaking. Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about Christ as the eternal Word of God. And then tomorrow we will continue with Christ, what? The living Word and the life-giving Spirit. Okay, so think about this progress from the eternal Word to the living Word. Message 3 is going to be on the Bible, the written Word of God, and then the last message is what? Yeah, it doesn't say Christ, right? It just says, where is it? It's just the spoken word of God. Okay, so it's very interesting. If you think about it, these are all word of God, but it's kind of like in different, what, different aspects, different stages. So we have eternal word. That's where we start tonight, eternal word. Then we have living word and life-giving spirit. And then what? We have the Bible, the written word of God. And then we conclude with the spoken word of God. So can we all repeat those four things? Can you repeat it? Did you get it? Okay, let's say it complete, right? Christ, the eternal word of God. The Bible, the written word of God, word of God. Okay, I'll give you a big hint about memorization. It's like I like to give, these are like bonus items when I speak. So this is just a helpful life tip. Do you know how to remember things? There's many ways to remember things, right? Many memory techniques, memory palaces, all sorts of ways. But what's the best way to remember something? Yeah, writing it down, that's a good one. I've heard that they say the faintest ink is better than the best memory. I think Watchman Nee said that. So writing it down is a big help. So I hope you write things down. Did everybody bring a pen? Good, very good. If you don't have one, borrow one, because you can't write if you don't have a pen. I always have pens. This is standard issue. If I leave the house without a pen, I feel really unequipped, right? So, because I like to write things down, because otherwise I don't remember them. And when you write them down, that helps you remember them. But that's actually not the best way, because you can lose your notes, right? You can mislay your papers and... what did I write down? Okay, so what's the best way to remember something? Yeah, do it. This is kind of in the line of doing it, but it's not really doing it. Repetition is good. Yeah, that can help you remember it. What's that? What was that? Singing it. That's getting closer. Yeah, singing it. Speaking it, that's good. Okay, let me rephrase the question. Okay, what are the hardest things to forget? What things are hard to forget? Some things are easy to forget. Some things are hard to forget. Like when you meet a new person, it's easy to forget their name. Okay, I'll give you a hint. Okay, I'll tell you the answer, actually. I just won't give you a hint. It's like the best way to not forget it is to see it. If you see it, it's a lot harder to forget it. If you're just trying to remember these four titles, it's like, I doubt you'll remember them. I'm hopeful you'll remember them, but I'm doubtful, because I know myself. It's like I forget messages just like that. People are asking me, even, you know, in our church meeting, I went to these messages we heard in Ethiopia, and they were asking me, now we're going through it again, we're reviewing it, and so they, oh, Brother Vern, he was there. Vern, please tell us about what you heard in Ethiopia. And I'm going, that's already many messages ago. It's like, what did we talk about in Ethiopia? But if you ask me what I saw in Ethiopia, I can tell you about that. It's like it's hard to forget the things I saw. But the things I just heard, the things I just tried to remember, even things that impress you, they're easy to forget. But we want to see them. And I think if you see these four things, right, if you see Christ is the eternal word, it'll be hard for you to forget that. So that's partly my job tonight and the Holy Spirit's, because I can't do it. But the Holy Spirit can do it. He can show you Christ is the eternal word. And if you see that, I'm pretty sure you'll remember it. That'll be hard to forget. Okay, so this message starts with Christ is the eternal word. Then it says what? The word is self-existing without beginning. And I have a little bit of an advantage because I took this outline and I embedded all the verses in it. So of course that's hard for you to do because you just got it. But it's a big help to look up all the verses. If you want to see these things, open your Bible. That's the portal to seeing all the things that are on this outline, right, is to get into the verses. And I appreciate Brother Michael was helping us. Maybe it was unique, maybe it was a new thing to you, that kind of repeating the word he was kind of doing. That's one form of something we call pray reading. It has many forms, but repeating it, like someone mentioned, is a good way to help you remember it. But not just repeating it, but kind of entering into it and allowing that word to enter into yourself is really the best way to receive the word, right? And so let's read that together. It's not on your outline, but it's on the previous page, right? Those verses 1 through 3. How about y'all read that? That's good. That's good. Yeah, those first three verses. So when you read this, if you're familiar with the Bible, if you're not familiar with the Bible, you're at a disadvantage for sure. So get familiar with the Bible. Begin to read the Bible. But if you are familiar with the Bible, this phrase in John 1:1 should remind you of another phrase. Right? What should it remind you of? It should remind you of Genesis. Why? Because Genesis also starts with in the beginning, okay? But are these the same beginning or a different beginning? Why is it different? Different. Somebody there said different. Now you're on the spot. Whoever said different, why is it different? Yes. Yeah, it's like eternity without beginning. It's the beginning with no beginning. So it just means that Christ, the Word,